to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, September 22nd, and we're coming to you live tonight, not from our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, but from Jackson, Mississippi at the Council of Conservative Citizens regional meeting, mini-conference being sponsored and brought to you by the great Southern chapter of the CFCC. David down here has done an outstanding job. Truly, a round of applause in order for our meeting organizers, David and Ellie, who's not in the room right now, but anybody, great job. Truly a great job, a great conference, a great day, and now hopefully a decent radio show to cap everything off. But we're back with you tonight. I want to quickly read before we bring on another good friend of mine, a great mentor, great guy, great leader, Sam Dixon. The definition of irony, this was passed on to me just a moment ago by Bill Lord, who's the senior field coordinator for the Council of Conservative Citizens. Of course, this is an all-CFCC show tonight. Be sure to check them out at cfcc.org. But the definition of irony, it reads, and here it is. The food stamp program, part of the Department of Agriculture, announced that it is pleased to be distributing stamps to the largest number of people ever. More people now on food stamps than ever before. We all knew that. I did not know it was administered by the Department of Agriculture. I don't know what that has to do about it. But anyway, so the Department of Agriculture, the food stamp program being administered to more people than ever before. Meanwhile, the Park Service, also part of the Department of Agriculture, asks us to please not feed the animals because they may grow dependent and not learn to take care of themselves.
I said, do not feed the bears at the national park.
The definition of irony, courtesy of the CFCC. And another man who I mentioned just a moment ago who spoke to the those assembled today, none other than the venerable and legendary Sam Dixon. Yay! Sam, any... Have there been any adjectives that we've left out that would properly and adequately describe you?
I appreciate the flattery. I, as Churchill said of Clement Attlee, I'm a very humble man with much to be humble about.
That's two Churchill quotes in 2 hours on the Political Cesspool, and not a guy that we're particularly fond of. At least I'm speaking for myself in that. But I have to circle back, since he has been invoked again. And this is the truth. The best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter, and we touched on that during the first hour.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, I had a really nice experience flying here. I went to the airport, and they, you know, when it came time to board the plane, they came out, and the airline officials announced that since democracy was so wonderful, and since American history is the story of democracy broadening down and more people voting, that henceforth, the airline's going to have a policy where you get to vote on your pilot. And so these guys and girls got up and talked to us and campaigned to be pilot. And, you know, they attacked this little nerd who all he wanted to do was talk about his experience in pilot school. And they pointed out he didn't know the price of a dozen eggs, so he wasn't one of the people. And so we had the vote, and we picked the one that was one of the people. And this is how democracy works.
What's scary is that I believe you. You know, America has fallen so far. Over the course of just the time that I've been politically active, which has only been, you know, 10, 12 years, I can only imagine what you two guys have seen on my left. And I'm being flanked now by, you know, the intellectual heavyweights. I feel meek in comparison. But what y'all have seen in your time compared to what I've seen, and what I've seen is staggering. But yes, I mean, in a day and age where it is racist and illegal. I mean, it's certainly, you know, you cannot ask someone to present their identification to make sure they are who they say they are when they go to vote. So if that's a standard practice, I do not much...
Well, then, James, you don't agree with President Obama and the Democratic Party that black voters are too dumb and stupid to be able to get their driver's license?
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they're just too dumb. Everyone knows these minorities. After all, three or four generations ago, they were segregated, and they're so stupid they haven't gotten over it. And so the Democrats made very clear that they can't be asked to go get a piece of identification. It's simply beyond their ability to do.
That's basically the argument that they're, and I know you're being tongue-in-cheek there.
I'm not being tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I don't think they quite broke it down that way, but that is in essence what they're saying. That is in essence what they're saying.
Their real argument, which they won't come out and enunciate, is that they feel that there are enough people in the black community that are suspicious of the authorities that if they had to show identification, they're afraid that they're liable to be picked up on an outstanding warrant or something. That's a...
Most felons can't vote, so why do they need their ID?
Well, there you go. And most felons can't vote, the gentleman said. So I tell you what, the rest of the show is going to be fun. If we can harangue
Sam, let me give you my favorite Winston Churchill quote before we get
We got to save that for the third hour. We can only do one Churchill per hour.
Okay.
Well, or we got to give his adversary equal time, and you know what, that'll get us into trouble.
What, Clement Attlee? No, my favorite quote from him is that he said that dogs look up to us, cats look down on us, but pigs consider us equals.
All right, anybody else with a Churchill quote?
No, but I have an H.O. Mencken quote.
Okay, we'll take him.
This is the best definition I've ever heard. H.O. Mencken had his own definition of democracy, and he said democracy is the worship of jackals by jackasses. The more you think about it, the truer it gets.
I've got something for you, Sam, that you're going to enjoy, and I'm so glad that you're here, not only here with us tonight, but co-hosting with us now for the remainder of the broadcast. We had a guest on recently. His name is Mark Krieger, and he is a very successful and prodigious investor from New Zealand. And in fact, when he called into the show live on Saturday night a few weeks ago, it was Sunday afternoon in New Zealand, and so there we were having a conversation days apart, but on the same line. But nevertheless, he wrote an outstanding commentary with regards to the tendency of American voters to nominate for themselves the worst possible candidates and those of the lowest common denominators. It's a scathing commentary, and I'm going to share it because I certainly believe Sam will not only get a kick out of it, but agree with most of it, if not all. So that's coming up at the top of the...
I think I can trump it.
Okay, we're going to have a duel here. We're going to have dueling quips. Pertaining to the intelligence or lack thereof of the American voting public. And so when
Again,
we come back.
H.L. Mencken said, nobody ever went broke underestimating the taste of the American public. Right? And voting proves it, right?
Ladies and gentlemen in the audience tonight, gather your quotes. Yeah. Mencken and Churchill are having a standoff, so whatever you got, whatever that has been said.
James,
you got one for me, Sam?
Yeah, James Thurlow Adams, who's a descendant of President Adams, he's a famous American historian, he wrote in his introduction to a reprint of Henry Adams' book, The Education of Henry Adams, that as far as the Adams family viewed things, after the Civil War, the American democracy could be defined as a stampede of hogs.
All right, we're going to continue to beat and berate the voting public here, present company excluded, of course, because if you're a member of this audience, God knows, you are a cut above. You are of a finer cloth.
All tests is a precondition to voting away from the present company.
We will be back with more. We're just getting started. The party is really just kicking off now. We have found our rhythm. Stay tuned.
Coming your way right after these messages.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. A big round of applause to L.E. for... L.E. for bringing the social lubricant to the meeting tonight. And so, anyway, as promised, this meeting is going to get more lively. As you know, you would think that we might have reached a sort of enthusiastic climax near the beginning of the show. But it will only get more intense as we get closer to the end, apparently. All right, folks, I'm going to try to read this very quickly. It's four or five paragraphs, and it's not good to read things on talk radio. It's supposed to be lively back and forth. But this was so good, I just have to offer it verbatim. And then we're going to get Sam to comment. This is Mark Krieger, recent guest. He is the founder and manager of Krieger Capital Investments in New Zealand. And this is what he had to say. As you all know, Barack Hussein Obama is seeking re-election against Republican challenger Willard Mitt Romney. Mainstream political pundits describe the contest as a titanic struggle between two distinguished men espousing diametrically diverging ideologies. The media assert that the future direction of humanity hinges on the outcome of this monumental election. However, the lamentable reality is that both men represent two sides of the same coin for which they stand in agreement on virtually every important issue, and very little will change regardless of who wins. Both candidates support wars of conquest abroad. They advocate the continuation of the crooked Federal Reserve money system, and they promise to continue increasing government spending, regulation, and intervention. They offer no concrete plans for addressing the massive problems confronting the United States, such as the impending retirement of the baby boomers and the coming fiscal apocalypse. If anything, both candidates are intellectual pygmies, devoid of wisdom, intelligence, integrity, and honor.
That's insulting to pygmies.
Well, now it really gets good. The contest between these cretins is on par, Mark Krieger writes, with the appalling knavery one sees on television programs like Judge Judy. On Judge Judy, members of the lowest order of Homo sapiens, barely evolved from Neanderthals or Homo erectus, make utter buffoons of themselves by suing their former friends, neighbors, lovers, or spouses over the most ridiculous things, while their antagonists prove equally idiotic. Similarly, Obama and Romney quarrel over trifles and irrelevancies while ignoring the vexing questions of our time as millions of mindless morons watch the spectacle. Both candidates embody the worst of humanity and are incompetents of the highest order. To enumerate and describe their flaws would require composing a novel. Perhaps the only thing worse than the two candidates is the alarming degeneration of society that would enable such men to attain the pinnacle of power. In 2008, 69 million Americans physically cast ballots for Barack Obama because he promised to deliver change.
I got some.
This year, perhaps as many as 120 million will vote for one of these two ignoramuses. A healthy and rational society would banish charlatans like Obama and Romney to exile. The mere fact that one of these two men will be the nominal leader of the United States signifies that the populace of the United States is functionally retarded. The leaders of a country are so often a reflection of its people, and regrettably, Romney and Obama abundantly illustrate that the vast majority of Americans are immoral dolts. So that was the essence and core of the commentary presented by Mark Krieger. Was he too kind on the American voting public, Sam, or did he get it about right?
Well, I think, you know, people are entitled to respect as individuals. You know, one of the odd things is that people's intelligence drops when they're called upon to vote or to consider choices of large groups of people. People will vote for candidates who espouse policies that the voters would never adopt for their own households. So the closer it gets to home, the more the intelligence of people goes up. Gustave Le Bon, the French sociologist, wrote about that. The intelligence of the mob sinks to that of the lowest member of the mob.
That's interesting. An interesting concept. Keith, take a crack at it. We've been talking about basically just the lack of political intelligence when it comes to the people who actually go and vote, which most people don't. Let's keep that in mind, too. But the people who do go vote, and I know we're talking about the worst examples, those that Howard Stern found in Harlem, but I don't think it is much of a stretch to say that those who go and vote, including those who will vote for Romney, middle-class white Americans, would not be able to answer very basic questions pertaining to civics and politics and government in terms of term limits, the number of senators from their states, and these people are charged with going in and electing the people that allegedly will represent us. And so, you know, I certainly have a problem with that, but...
What it brought home to me was there was a book, a novel back in the early 80s called A Confederacy of Dunces by a guy named John Kennedy O'Toole. He was a southerner from New Orleans. And this reminds me of a conspiracy of dunces. You can't expect the people to nominate or to elect an intelligent person when no intelligent person is offered to them as a candidate. You know, in the run-up to the 2000 election, I was in a doctor's office waiting to take a deposition, and they had a copy of a U.S. News and World Report magazine that had an in-depth breakdown of the backgrounds of George W. Bush and Al Gore, and I read it with a great deal of interest, and one of the things that stood out to me was that George Walker Bush got into Yale with a 1046 on the SAT, and Al Gore was even dumber. He got into Harvard with a 1041 on the SAT. Now, I made over 200 points higher than either of those guys. I made a 1253, and I'm of about the same vintage as them, maybe a couple of years younger. But I've never been the most intelligent person in most rooms that I go to, and as a result, it just struck me. I said, why are we selecting presidents from this strata of intelligence? For example, John Kerry, by the time John Kerry ran in 2004, I believe it was, they had locked down all the academic student records of the presidential candidates to avoid this embarrassment again, but they were able to tell that John Kerry was even dumber than either Al Gore or George W. Bush because he made lower on the OCS Officer Candidate School entrance exam than either of them. They had neglected locking that down. And Obama is obviously cut from the same cloth. How does a mediocre student from a college like Occidental College in California, which is a good enough college, but it's certainly not Harvard or Yale, how does he manage to wangle a transfer to one of the top three Ivies, Columbia, and then becomes the editor-in-chief of the Harvard Law Review without publishing so much as a case note in the Harvard Law Review? Obviously, his career has been a magic carpet ride of affirmative action. If you can be what Joe Biden said he was, a polite, attractive black person that doesn't speak with a ghetto accent. I mean, the world is your oyster, apparently, in today's America. But none of these guys are mental giants, and I think there is a reason why all of our presidential candidates are like this. They basically can't chew their own food intellectually. They are totally dependent on what I had spoken about today, at least in part, technocrats, to digest raw material and then formulate policy. They are total captives to their keepers. And I think the technocrats that actually run our government, the bureaucracy, the bureaucrats that run our government, intend it to be that way. They do not want people who are self-sufficient intellectually to be the president because, heaven forbid, they might actually act upon their own insights and intelligence in governing the country. They want people who are figureheads, who are basically becoming president because they've won a beauty contest, and that leaves the same people governing the United States regardless of who gets elected president.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, and I know we're coming up on a commercial break any second now, we're going to talk to Sam Dixon about what he talked about today during his keynote presentation at the CFCC regional meeting here in Jackson, Mississippi. We're going to that commercial break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Right after these messages.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we are back live and on the air at the halfway point now in our live broadcast from the Great Southern Chapter of the CFCC here in Jackson. You know, to be the host of the political cesspool is to get a lesson in geography each and every week, and this is the truth. I'm getting text messages and emails right now from people all over the country, indeed the world, who are tuned in tonight from our broadcast, which is taking place live and remotely here from the ballroom in Jackson. But every week it seems that an email will come in from somebody who is a new listener to the show from a country that, and believe me, I did very well in school. I never made, and this is something that I'm very proud about, I never made below a B in any of my high school classes. Never made below a B on my report card.
Now, not in conduct?
Not, except for in conduct, as Sam rightly mentioned. But I was particularly good in geography and history. But still, I will get emails each week from someone at a location that
you don't know
requires me to consult an atlas. So this show is getting out to a wide and, dare I say, diverse audience. But it's the right kind, and we are growing stronger each week.
Who'd you hear from?
Well, we just got one from Mark in St. Louis, which is a good friend of all of us. Here, that doesn't count. I know where St. Louis is. That's right. I never knew of Bell Buckle, Tennessee until, the last remote. Anyway.
I didn't know that St. Louis was at an exotic location.
Well, that doesn't back up the previous point, but nevertheless. That was the most recent. I thought you were inquiring about the most recent. Anyway. joining me, co-hosting with me for the final 2 hours, along with Keith Alexander, is my good friend Sam Dixon. And Sam is a man who knows about good real estate. Every time I go and speak with Sam, whether it's at an American Renaissance conference or a council, he is always the keynoter. He has always got that high-priced spot at the end of the program. Location, location, location. So, Sam, since you are always the closer at
the
any of these,
he's the rock star.
He's the closer. There's a couple more adjectives. We'll find more. He's always the closer at these confabs, and for good reason, I might add, for very good reason. He always gives a great talk. Share with the audience what they missed if they were not here today. Nutshell version of your presentation.
Well, I propose an opening to the left. The abandonment of the idea of left and right, that we should be above left and right. We're neither left, right, nor center, but that we are a people, and we're the advocates of a people, and that what we advocate is in accordance with natural law and common sense.
And you use the term communitarian.
Yes, I said that we should be racial communitarians, that the health of the people is the supreme law. And that it was rather disgusting to watch the Republican convention and see all these people up there talking about how they started out with 3 laundromats and then finally ended up with 500 and they made all this money and this is America and you can make money. Making money is a great thing. As a Presbyterian, I believe it's an outward sign of God's inner grace, which speaks very poorly of me right now because I don't have enough. Anyway, but a community, we are a community. And we are in favor of a community. And there are many things that liberals stand for that are quite acceptable to us. And our ideal ethno-state, which we ask for in terms of reciprocity, asking only what the Jewish community has asked for itself, in our ethno-state, it will be a communitarian society.
Well, let me make a comment about that. Unfortunately, I think our enemies are not operating on any principle, communitarian or otherwise, they are basically animated by a anti-white Gentile animus. And the Jews are never going to recognize that we have the right to create an ethno-state like their own. Likewise, Noah, I think it was William Raspberry, the black syndicated columnist, that said that whites should never be allowed to coalesce and to speak with one voice in the public discourse, because they know, he didn't say it, but they know that if we did, we would swamp all the other groups, and if we fought the fight the way they fight the fight, we would win, and that's totally unacceptable because they're basically anti-white. That is the sum and substance of their agenda. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think the minority groups behave, or I should say the other groups that are fighting for their group interests, they behave the way nature intended them to behave. Mm-hmm. I can't fault Jews for being Zionists. I can't fault blacks for voting for what's good for blacks. We heard the funny jokes about the Howard Stern questioning on the streets of Harvard. The bottom line is that all those blacks, I mean, not Harlem, they... the Freudian slip.
same difference, right?
The bottom line is that all those black voters knew how to vote. And blacks vote far more intelligently than white voters do. It was like I told a friend.
Can't disguise
guy,
their motives like we can. But then
I told a guy I met who was in an expensive area of Atlanta called Ansley Park, which had voted 97% for a liberal candidate, as had Perry Holmes, the black housing project area. And I explained to him that since these two areas have nothing in common with each other, one of them didn't understand how to vote, and the other did. And I said the high IQ Busby voters lived in Perry Homes, and the low IQ ones live in Ansley Park. And whites just politically have a lower IQ than do any a white person than of any other contending group.
Well, that's because we've been the subject of an intentional brainwashing campaign that has been directed at us and us alone that makes us feel guilty about expressing any sense of racial solidarity. Every other group is not only allowed but encouraged to have a sense of racial solidarity. Why do we put up with this unique, unfair, specialized treatment, Sam?
For several reasons. One is that what you're talking about is actually an abnormal form of racism. Every race feels that it is superior to other races. Any healthy race feels it is superior.
Despite the amazing abundance of counter evidence, for example, for the black race.
Well, no. Every race is going to believe that it's superior. That's a natural state of affairs. With these white liberals, they have sublimated or perverted they are themselves white supremacists. Only whites have power. The blacks are simply, as you said, they can't even go get a voting ID. Whites are devils. Whites control everything. Whites are so smart. They're responsible for everything from pollution to tooth decay. Whites are demons. And we have to hate them. Otherwise, hate will triumph. Only by hating and demonizing whites can love triumph. This is the SPLC Heidi Beirich program. So it's a form of inverted racism. These white people are so psychologically damaged, white liberals, that they have sublimated normal feelings of racial pride into demonizing their own race and making it the archetype of evil.
Well, it is the greatest of all the liberal hypocrisies and double standards, that being, as Keith just mentioned, all ethnic groups, all racial groups are not only encouraged, are not only allowed, but encouraged to have their own media, their own spokespeople, their own leaders who advocate for their unique group interests, except for white people. When white people, the very few that do, insist that they should have it for themselves as well, not at the exclusion of the others, but in addition to the other groups that already have it, then we get shouted down as racist when those code words and Marxist shut-up words are not applied to the other groups that are practicing exactly which we want. But there is one radio program out there that is standing up as the explicit voice for European Americans, and this is it. And we've certainly made a name for ourselves. But again, it's not as though our ideas are not in vogue. Everybody else is practicing them but us, including those who oppose us, by the way. And it's so, again, ironic the fact that our overlords, if I could use that word here, in America, say how evil we are to insist that we have interests that are solely our own. When you look at Israel in comparison, a nation that is obviously racially and religiously homogenous. It is a nation that landmines its borders and secures its borders with military. It is a nation that is segregated, a nation that just recently, earlier this year, went door to door and rounded up Sudanese immigrants, wherever they found them, went into businesses and went into homes and rounded them up and physically deported them. I love the Israel domestic model.
Well, see, and they're supposedly, you know, that's not even worthy of comment that they did that. And see, this is what we've got this regime where other people play heads I win, tails we lose with us, and we accede to it. What Sam said also, it's a kind of odd sense of white supremacy in a way. It's like saying, from those to which much is given, much is...
The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Keith Alexander, my good friend and co-host, is a political and social animal. During the commercial breaks, he's always at a different port of call in the room, talking with one of those in attendance tonight. He's never in the same place twice either. I always have to look. I always have to scan.
And... hard to hit a moving target.
All right, guys. Well, Keith, you were certainly continuing on our conversation with Sam Dixon, And Keith Alexander here, you were making a point, and that commercial cut you off just a moment ago.
Well, I guess...
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, not really, but I'll pick it up anyway. Here's what I was trying to get to. Really, I think that the strategy for advancing our interests as a race and as a group is very simple. We just pick up the mantra of having equal rights with everyone else. Jews, Japanese, Koreans, Arabs in Dubai, you name it, all of these people are not only allowed, they're encouraged to have ethnostates. We need to carve out for ourselves an ethnostate, and we need to ask for it in terms of equal rights. Equal rights. See, equality is the great mantra of the modern era. Equality is supposedly linked with freedom. Actually, equality and freedom are mortal enemies. I think it was Thomas Jefferson later in his life who said, free men are never equal, equal men are never free. But those are the terms in which the argument is couched, and we need to take advantage of it. Now, let me make one more point about Jewish power and influence. Jews mess up on purpose every nation to which they are have been dispersed. It's called the diaspora. Every place in which they are a minority, which is every place in the world except for Israel, they intentionally mess up. I remember when I interviewed Ilana Mercer, who is a Jewish South African expatriate, who wrote a book called Into the Cannibal's Pot, talking about how terrible South Africa had become under black rule. But I pointed out an inconvenient truth to her, which was that her father, who was a rabbi, was a big proponent of the anti-apartheid movement. And what's the old saying, be careful what you wish for, your dream may come true. Well, when their dream came true and blacks took over the reins of government after whites were essentially guilt-tripped into turning them over, everything went to hell in a handbasket in South Africa. But being Jewish, they had the perfect escape strategy. All they did was take the next plane to Tel Aviv, and they were welcomed with open arms. A red carpet was rolled out. Of course, white Gentiles don't have that option. One of the first sanctions leveled against the Republic of South Africa by the international community, led by the United States and Britain at the time in the 60s, was to revoke Commonwealth status for people from South Africa. So in other words, South African white Gentiles who would have been able to emigrate freely to Great Britain, just like blacks from British Guiana or British Honduras were able to do, were prohibited from doing that, so they were left to the tender mercies of the new majority black government. A lot of people may wonder, for example, why, when you see all this, you know, disturbing footage on the internet about white farmers in South Africa being hacked to death by machetes, why do they just don't fight back? Well, I'll tell you why they don't fight back. I understand that as a lawyer. In a place like South Africa, where the judges are black, the constables are black, where the the police chief is black, if you did, you'd be charged with murder, and you're bound to be die in one of their jails. Instead, a lot of times these people break into their house, threaten them, and wind up not doing much, and they're hopeful that that's going to be the result on the fateful night when it's not the result and they get killed. See, if you let things get to that condition that they are in South Africa and Zimbabwe, there's no hope for you and there's no refuge or resource. Jewish people living in South Africa have a refuge and resource. It's called the State of Israel. White Gentiles have no refuge or resource, and if we allow things to devolve to that point in America, there will be no place you can run, but you can't hide. And that is something that we need to keep in mind. And, what we want, we should not be ashamed to ask for, because all we're asking for is equal treatment. We want what every other group is allowed to have.
But I think we need to address the white problem, because the thing that we face most of all is the white problem. Okay. We can't do much about other racial groups which are naturally, in accordance with nature's laws, seeking their own interest. But focusing on ourselves, this is the problem. And with white people, I don't believe that many of them are actually deceived by enemy propaganda. I think what is lacking is courage. They're obviously lying when they say they believe in diversity, because if they really believed in diversity, they'd go buy a house in a Mexican or a predominantly black neighborhood, and they could buy the same physical house for 20% of what they pay to avoid the very thing that they say at the cocktail party they want, which is diversity. So these people... are our first and most immediate problem. It's white people. And it's the problem of cowardice. If we had a million white women with the balls of Rosa Parks, our situation would be a million white men with the balls of Rosa Parks. Our situation would be much different. But we have a race of cowards, and we also are a race without leadership. One of the devilish aspects of how American modern society is organized is this. The more loyal someone is to his ethnic group, if he is a member of, say, Hispanic, Jewish, or black group, the better his career prospects. A law student who is president of the Black Law Student Association, which there is such a group, or president of the Hillel Foundation, the Jewish college student movement, or president of the college chapter of La Raza. Any of those three students has a brighter career in store. He has a better chance of becoming a federal judge and making partner in a very posh law firm. Any white student who put on his resume that he was president of the White Law Student Association would have effectively committed professional suicide.
Right.
And so we have a dynamics in the society in which our opposition, the groups that are contending for control of this turf, are led by the people who are most loyal to their group. And we are led by people who are the least loyal to our group.
Okay. Hey, Keith, let me say. Sam brought up a very, very good point. Well, actually, everything he said was right on target, especially the Rosa Parks quote. But, you know, we always get denounced and condemned as being haters. I mean, that's one of the ones that they throw around a lot. And nothing could be further from the truth. And I know I speak on behalf of our hosting staff here when I say that, you know, we truly do this show at our own expense, at the expense of our economic health, and at the expense of our earning potential, at the expense of everything. As volunteers, we do this show not because we're motivated by hatred of anything or anybody, but because we are moved for a love of our own people and a love of our issues. And again, we've been quoting a lot of people tonight. I'll quote Sam Dixon, who once said, "What is love if not loving your own family just a little bit more than other people?" I don't wish ill will on anyone, but I certainly am motivated for a love of our people. And so that's why we do these things, and only in a post-Christian, secular, humanist society as America, with something so decent and good and noble be turned into something evil. And
it's supposed to be villainy, but what I would say in reply to Sam is that I don't see it as a treason of the rank and file in the white population. What it is a failure and a treason by the white elites.
Well, that was actually my final point, Keith, is that... Well, my point was, if I did, which I don't, but if I did have hate in my heart for anyone, it would be for members of my own community, white people.
Someone like Hillary Clinton.
Yes,
who
there
has
you
carved
go.
Out a career for herself, preaching to white working and middle class people that the people who benefit most from diversity is them. Their children need to learn from being put in schools where they're around people of other races. Then when Hillary and Bill buy the first house they've ever bought in their lives, they buy in a community that is 98% Caucasian. This is such an FU, if I can use that gross term, to white working people and middle class people. Marie Antoinette was, of course, a very fine person, actually. But had she been as contemptuous of the ordinary people as to have said they want bread, let them eat cake. She was a piker compared to a Hillary Clinton.
Well, no, I agree totally.
Great point.
Yeah, and see, what has happened
is that because of school integration, white working class and middle class people who relied upon the implicit promise of American society to provide a decent public school education for the children had that denied. And because that was denied, think of the trillions of dollars that have been spent by white working class and middle class people to have private education for their kids, and think of the demographic consequences, how many people have limited the size of their families because they couldn't afford to send four or five kids to private school.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you can stand it, and I know you can, we've got one more hour with Sam Dixon and Keith Alexander tonight from the CFCC meeting in Jackson. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.